Father, let's pray and get into the study. So, Father in heaven, we thank you. Lord, we're grateful for your church and Scripture and the letters that were written to them. And Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the corrections that came to Corinth. And Lord, we're thankful for this chapter that causes us to be even more careful in our day. We've learned as time passes and prophecy of Scripture that in the days of your returning, Lord, there's going to be a rise of the false. We live in days where everything is now published. Anything is published, and access to everything, all the words and knowledge of man is available. And yet we find, as we humble ourselves, we need your word more than anything. Help us to understand, and therefore also then know and follow you in our days, that we'd be kept from evil. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 11, let's read it together. I'll read, you follow along. All right. I remind you, please read ahead. Okay. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am not untrained, I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied, and in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I may also boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. You put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. Perils of robbers. Perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. As we continue to study through the letter of the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, and again establishing for us that I believe God wants us, it's His will for us to be abundant church. As you catch the context of chapter 11, Paul is going to lay this out, really to be fruitful in Christ, and he uses his own life now as an example unto others of what it means to follow Christ as an apostle. When we studied in chapter 10, taking up the warfare with this clear instruction that we're called to abide in Christ. Our calling in our lives, if you hear Jesus in this point in your life, it really is three things. Come to Him, follow Him, abide in Him. The calling to come to Him is the weariness and burden in your life as you get saved and you cast your care upon Him and He really, you become yoked to Him. It's submission. It's submission to His teaching. It's submission to who He is and what He has done and what He will do. And you learn that following. The key thing, deny self. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. And then this abiding. And really, the end of abiding in chapter 15 of John, as Jesus instructs the church, His desire for each and every one of our lives is that we would bear fruit unto God. We'd be fruitful unto God. Now, taking that context together and receiving that as church, that we would be bearing forth fruit, again, in the context of abiding in Christ, more fruit, and then it describes an abundance, much more fruit. Now, John 15, 16, right? Let's go ahead and turn over there. This is my abundant church. And then we're going to learn from Paul's letter in chapter 11, we're going to learn how to be more abundant. John 15, 16. Now, I believe God has called us, Calvary Chapel Fargo, right, to be the church, right, that He has placed here. Now, we're not the only ones, but I do believe that God has appointed us. You look at John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Think of the wonderful truth in Scripture that God is the potter, we are the clay. Wonderful truth. The clay doesn't say to the potter, hey, what are you doing with me? Right? Hey, I should be for something else. No, when you got saved, right, and again, think of this testimony that you have. When you were saved out of sin, right? And you know, some of it's like in the pit of sin. And you were brought up and you set, you know, God sets your feet upon the rock that is Jesus Christ, and then He washes you all clean, cleans you up, and again, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. You're a new creation, and you find out that God is not just hasn't just saved you, but now He has something for you to do. John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. These things I command you that you love one another. So I believe we're appointed, right? Chosen by God and appointed to bear fruit in His kingdom. And with that prayerful, again, seeking God, I believe that's for all of North Dakota. That we would go forth and live our lives and therefore living water from us would reach out to others and the gospel would go forth with the power of God. And I describe this phrase to you, we should bring forth fruit to God. Or we ought to. Okay? We ought to bring forth fruit to God. And I call that abundant church. So that's my lead-in, and now let's learn what we need to learn today. It's going to come in three parts. That you're kept in Christ, and you're exhorted to continue in Christ. Okay? You catch that? And you're called in Christ. So, again, I'll give them to you in advance. Kept in Christ. Peter opens up his letter, right? Describing the believers. They're scattered throughout the world. And what a letter it is. He says, you are kept by the power of God, that unto the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the end. The keeping power of God, being kept in Christ. Oh, we talk about being saved by the grace of God, but how about this wonderful truth? You're kept by the grace of God. You're not kept, right? You are not kept by your effort. Now, we are to endeavor to keep that which is given unto us. It's by the grace of God. As Paul writes this letter, and again, I take heed unto this great warning. He takes a turn because of those that had commended themselves as apostles who weren't apostles of Christ. 12 apostles. So take comfort that as we live in these days, don't get troubled when you find out there are fake churches or fake pastors, or I'll even say worthless shepherds, to use Bible terms, false apostles, false brethren, even those that are declaring false Christs. I just say, take heart. The Bible said it would be that way. Now, in that environment that's called the world, and you find this truth, it existed in Corinth. And this becomes important, because to be kept in Christ, is it unattainable? Well, in order for us to bear fruit unto God, remember that fruit that remains, that means you have to abide. Abiding means remaining, so you have to be kept in Christ. In order to bear fruit, you got to be in the vine. And so what is that really? It's to abide in His love, abide in His words, abide in His commands. Those are not unattainable. Now, a friend of mine who coaches football, and he describes this, you know, every offensive team, when they're running drills without a defense, man, can they make great plays, right? It's like my brother and I playing fantasy baseball every day in the summer, right? We played a World Series. We won every World Series, and we won in 7, and we won by one run. I mean, we just played all these games, and we always, because it was all in our mind. But enter the opposition. Football, right? An offense trying to get to the other end zone, and the way he describes it, a man trying to accomplish a goal and a plan while he's being punched in the face. Okay? Now, we come to this place of being kept in Christ, and I love this letter because Paul, he takes a turn he doesn't take anywhere else, and he peels back. He says, you want to know the cost to be an apostle and called to suffer this way? I'll let you look. All these others who come into town, they're claiming to be apostles. Paul says, they're not apostles. He says, you want to know what it is? Look at this. And he says, a little folly, you bear with me. And he describes this relationship that he has. He says, I'm jealous for you. Oh, this is the good jealousy. The bad jealousy is you're not to be jealous of one another. But think of he says, a husband's jealousy. He says, I am jealous for you. He says, I've betrothed you to Christ. Again, wanting to evoke probably the strongest, again, you think of relationships, and therefore it's a possessive in a good way that you belong to Christ, you're His. And in invoking this for the Corinthians, he says, I came there and I preached the gospel. He says, and then I taught you how to live for Christ. And think of that, when a man and a woman, when a woman's going to be married to a man, and she's, again, the whole thought there is that she would keep herself for her husband, the phrase, a chaste virgin. Again, describing how we, the church, Paul says, you belong to Jesus, you cannot anymore give yourself to whatever you want, because if you're going to be kept in Christ, and he gives this warning in verse 3. Remember, this is abundant church that we're talking about. A church that can make it through chapter 11, okay, and lay hold of what this is in Christ. Right? You find out in 3, he says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve. King James has beguiled her. And again, way back to the garden, way back to Genesis chapter 3, and again, Paul's taught the church, and so he can now just mention it to him, describing the craftiness of the serpent, the subtlety. See, we come to this place and, oh yeah, of course we're going to be fruitful and abundant in Christ. The first warning is, look out. Okay, to be kept in Christ, there's this subtlety of which is described his craftiness. You can put there in your thoughts, seduced. See, you might see it in another where you're looking and say, oh, that man is just chasing that woman for. Or you might see it in a woman, oh, that woman just going after that man for this. Or, oh, that one's just following for money. What you might see it in another, but quite the opposite to see, especially because what Paul describes here, he uses this word, so that your minds, in his craftiness, so his subtlety, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. So this seduction, right, again, it has to be addressed. Now, it's not the falling away in a day. Do you hear this? What he's describing is a corruption. It works well for fruit, because if you're watching a tree and you're watching the fruit grow, and before it gets ripe, it goes rotten. Now, that's a bad tree, right? If you think about the fruit never ripens, it just goes and rots before you could take it off the tree. So here's this warning in the subtlety, but it's in the minds. Now, the word he used here for minds is the word that describes the intellect. Okay, and so remember that, how did Satan come to Eve? He appealed to her on her intellect. Okay, that she could be wise. She could be as God. And this is a call to humility if we understand it. If we could honestly say, I am going to stick with Christ. This word simplicity is singleness. Again, liberality, right? The idea of everything is in Christ and it's only in Christ. Now, we should take very good heed right now in regards to understanding what's going on in our world, because many are laying a hold of Christ for their claim of their own cause. There's the homeless Jesus, if you will. And therefore, again, Jesus would have treated homeless this way, and then they want all your funds to minister to the homeless and not sharing the gospel with them that they could go to heaven. Now, you understand that there's a Palestinian Jesus who has the cause of the Palestinians. And yet Jesus is, right, obviously the Messiah of Israel who came to bring salvation to the world, but these causes that exist in the world. And in your notes here, you can just put Jesus plus or and anything is idolatry. That's the whole point. Now, the nature of corruption is it's undetectable. You don't even know what's happening. Corruption, think of rust on a vehicle underneath the paint. You don't even know it's corrupting until it's already corrupted, and you see the paint bubbling up, and like, oh, what's this? And then you pick at the bubble on the paint. What? I got rust. Rust is a form of corruption. So what did our Lord teach about our treasures? Don't keep them here. Right? Moth, rust, those are types of corruption. Or stealing, robbing, right? This idea of that Satan, through his craftiness, would work on the intellect, just getting you to think differently about Christ. And he warns them. That's corruption. Unto, how do you know when it's rotten? Verse 4. Someone comes in with another Jesus. Allos is the root word of that, again, another, meaning another of the same kind. Through subtlety, presenting Jesus unto you, using his name, is saying, we too follow Jesus. Not recognizing that the Jesus that they're talking about, Satan has corrupted the intellect of Jesus. Again, a great example of that is the Chosen. You might not even be aware of it, but the idea of putting into Jesus a different spirit and then calling him Jesus, yet you find out it's fiction. This is the way Jesus really should have been. He would have been more acceptable to more people. And again, just an example of the intellect, and you won't even recognize it. Oh, and you spend all this time and you find out it's corrupted now in Christ. Another Jesus. He warns them. Another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit. Now, I like what the New King James does here, because the word there for another, so you could say another Jesus, another spirit, but it's a different Greek word. The root word for the different spirit and the different gospel is a heteros, right? So we know heteros. I mean, we appreciate the differences between men and women, and we understand they're you know, human race, but you say a man is not a woman and a woman is not a man. They're heteros, yet God has commanded them to be one. So when he describes here using that different spirit. Okay, and just in your notes here, write 1 John 4:1, test the spirits. Is it of God? The corruptive nature of the craftiness of Satan to deceive with seduction. Ooh, I want that. Not, I don't want that and Satan's forcing it upon me. No, he does it in such a way where you find out, I want to know what that is. I want to know about that. And he draws it in. And this is the warning to the church. And again, it's cautionary. The warning is, you're living your lives in such a way in Corinth that if somebody came to you and changed Jesus, and it was actually a different spirit or another spirit that's not like the Holy Spirit who is in Christ Jesus, you might not even detect that it's of a different spirit, and they changed the gospel. In other words, they added or took away, again, from the simplicity, you're saved in Christ. In fact, the Judaizers, when we get to study Galatians, Lord willing, here, when we begin in July, we're going to address those that would come and say, you're not saved unless you keep the law of Moses and are circumcised. Now, that's false. And so he's warning the Corinthians that they're living their lives, again, what they're giving their intellect unto, and they're corrupting their minds over the simplicity that's in Christ. He says, you might well put up with a different Jesus and not even know it. Now, I take this to heart for us, right? I read through 1 Peter this week, again, not in my regular devotions, just spirit-led, kept by the power of God, you know, unto salvation by Jesus Christ, this keeping in Christ, and knowing this, that there's a seduction in Christianity, always to turn aside. And again, my part to this is shepherd the flock of God that's among you, serving as an overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly. And as I do this with us, and I love doing this, and at what cost? Well, what's the cost that the shepherd will watch out for the sheep, that they would not be seduced by the enemy? Well, at all costs. Paul, an apostle, he says, you may well put up with it. Right there in your notes, again, exclamation in New King James, just put, you know, maybe it's a symbol, but whatever makes you think, caution. That's a cautionary statement. So the caution that you would not be kept in Christ, and it would be within you that would take you away. All because of the subtle, deceptive, sneaky, crafty, seducing ways that Satan makes something look appealing, even though it will kill you. Caution. Cautionary statement. Now, verse 5, he says, consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Eminent means the big guys. Now, it's all perception. The word there for intellect up above, where he says the minds, right? It has with it what you perceive to be. Because that's our intellect, right? You perceive. And so the eminent apostles, you perceive what Peter, James, and John to be the big three. I don't know, they went with Jesus all the time. I love the teachings that really reveal it out. It says, I think Jesus kept them closer to him, right? Paul says, I'm not inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. Man, he studied. Now, we need to take this to heart. Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Read and study your Bible. Know the doctrine. Study doctrine. Again, this is the instruction. Paul says, we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. He's an apostle. This is his point. Now, he answers a couple things that should cause the people of God to check between a true and a false apostle. Very helpful. He says, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? He reveals to them that he did not come for their support so he could minister unto them. You know what the false apostles were doing? They would show up and they would say they were apostles and they would take an offering. Okay? And I think this is an important thing. He describes robbing other churches. He didn't rob the other churches. He simply, again, he's using that. He says, their needs, right? My needs were met by them as I ministered to you. I would not let you buy this from me. You hear that? See, enter in now a day and age where you can turn on the internet to multiple channels. I mean, are you going to find truth just by scouring through YouTube and I think you can arrive at this? My warning to you is most of them on there are just in it for the money. Got to be able to detect that. You know, that this relationship of Paul's describing manifested among you. We were there. We showed up. This is the Apostle Paul. I did the teaching a while back, and I don't remember which one it was, but I listed the top 15 money pastors in this country. Okay? Now just, again, it's cautionary, right? The warning of following those that came, and he says, when I was present with you, when I was in need, I was a burden to no one. Paul is saying, I'm not even going to tell you my needs. And then verse 10, as the truth is in Christ, no one shall stop me from this boasting. What is he saying? You didn't support me. You didn't buy me. You didn't change my message. Right? He said, this is truth, and it was not, this message was not turned based off of where the support came from. And that's what he's describing. I wasn't in it for the money. And he says, nobody's going to stop me from this boasting. Why? He says, because I love you. He phrases it in the negative because it looked like he didn't love them because he didn't give them the opportunity to support him in the ministry. That's nonsense as far as Apostle Paul is concerned. He says, what I will do, I will continue. Verse 12. I will also continue to do. Right? Why? Because those who wanted the opportunity that he had, he's an apostle of Christ, they wanted the appearance and they wanted the opportunity to look like an apostle. And he says unto them, I'm going to continue this way so you can tell the difference between the two. And there were some early church writings to help the church out to describe, right, who's an apostle, who's not. Now, let me frame this for you. How many apostles did Jesus have? He had 12. One betrayed. Book of Acts describes they chose another and put him forth, Matthias. And then Paul is called an apostle. So we have what, 12? 11, 13, 12, right? Again, 12 foundational stones. I mean, those are the apostles of Christ. Now, I imagine that, you know, at some point in history, and I know it's more now, there's probably thousands of men and women calling themselves now apostles of Christ. Even in this day and age, and I like the way my pastor phrases this, he was around early enough in the days and understanding with Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa because God did a great work through, right, just this humble church in Costa Mesa. Again, when Pastor Chuck showed up there, there were 25 members. So here's my pastor's phrase. I have met 125 of the original 25 members. Okay? A lot want to say a lot of words and be counted, even in churchianity. And Paul warns them. He says, they want to be called apostles. I'm going to continue this way so you can sort this out. He says, they desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. We live in a day and age where you can become your own pastor. You can ordain yourself. What an interesting thought that anybody would check anything out and go back to 2 Corinthians 10:18. He who commends himself is for not he who commends himself is approved. So we are to test and approve faithful men. That's my charge. As again, we're starting these, you know, churches, and we're going to raise up men, and they're going to answer the call, and they're going to be sent out to be faithful to Christ, and they need to be tested and approved. And in I offer this up. Paul says, I live this way. They want to boast that they're one of the apostles. Isn't that an interesting thought that there would be 100 apostles of Christ, yet he only had 12? They come out saying they're apostles. For such are false apostles, verse 13. Now, again, framing this, keeping it together, and keeping moving today. Kept in Christ, and right here in verse 12 into 13, continue in Christ. Continue in Christ. There are false apostles, so should you stop following Jesus? Maybe you watched somebody online and you started to follow their teachings. Or maybe you came across the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, maybe, again, various teachings and you for a while. Or maybe you didn't even know you got caught up in the new Calvinistic thoughts. Well, I must have believed the gospel because I'm here, therefore I'm elect, therefore I believe the gospel. And then you've never received the gospel. It's upside down. And you didn't even know it. You didn't even know that the church you decided to go to because there's no difference. And then you find out, Paul says there are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves, making themselves something they are not, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. See, the prince of darkness can make himself appear that he's not dark. All of this warning that Paul's giving in this letter, and again, exhorting and encouraging us to keep in Christ, we're kept in Christ, stay there. Again, if you're engaged to be married, again, that's what he says, like, you wouldn't do these things, okay? If you're engaged to be married to a man, you don't go around dating other men. That's what he says, kept in Christ. It's how it works. And now to continue in Christ, he says, beware of those who will appear to be what they're not. The rise of the false in the last days, false apostles, false brethren, again, false Christ. Paul says here, false apostles. Satan is a masquerading, transforming power to make himself look like what he's not. He says, there is no great thing if ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end is according to their works. And I want you to highlight or understand that phrase, according to their works. This is judgment. Because each person will be judged according to their works. One who leads people astray will be judged according to that. I say again, verse 16, let no one think me a fool. Otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may boast a little. What do you learn? Paul says it's foolishness to boast and promote yourself and present yourself so that people will send their money or people will listen to you or the numbers will increase and then money will increase. And certainly that's a successful church. Look at the size. I keep warning everybody, right? It has been shown that you do not need the Holy Spirit to start worldwide efforts of missions and have locations. The Jehovah's Witnesses do it. The Mormons do it. The Catholic Church has done this without the Holy Spirit for years. Again, you need to understand that. And this call to see this kept in Christ, continue in Christ, this minister of righteousness, this judgment to come, it's going to be sorted out in the end. He says, well, I'm going to be foolish and boast about it, and you're going to find out what this is. And I'm not going to speak according to the Lord here. I'm going to boast the way they're boasting. And so this is what it is. He's going to boast. He says, you put up with fools. You count yourself wise, right? And he describes how they received the false apostles and that they were actually brought into bondage. Didn't even know they were brought into bondage, but the person says, I've got some truth to sell you, and it's going to cost you this, and, oh, really? I want to hear this, and brought into bondage. That's what he's describing to them. The phrase, one devours you, takes from you, exalts himself. I like this one, strikes you on the face. I think he's evoking, hey, go back and look at the teachings of Jesus and find out. Again, you don't do that. Brothers and sisters don't do that with one another. And again, helping this to form. Find your way over to the book of Jude. Right before the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Jude, again, brother of Jesus, grew up in the same house, probably heard from mom and dad all the time, why can't you be more like Jesus? Can you imagine? Well, Jesus does his chores right away. Jude, verse 3, beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Certain men have crept in unnoticed. And he compares them. He says, men who are marked out for judgment. He compares them unto Balaam. He compares them unto Korah. He compares them unto Sodom and Gomorrah. He compares them unto the angels during the flood in Genesis. He uses the scripture and says, hey, you got to look back to understand this. It's always been this way, what you're looking at now and what's coming. And the exhortation really is to be able to detect that and keep yourself in your most holy faith, building yourself up. He leads through this. Jude writes this. Peter writes it. Paul's writing it to the Corinthians. And this continuing in Christ, again, I'm going to put there for you at all cost. Don't let anyone take you away from this simplicity in Christ. Don't let anyone sort of subtlety, you know, kind of thing, saying you can have Jesus and this too. Now, concerning the bondage, devouring, exalting himself, striking you on the face, Jude warned, he says what? Certain men crept in unaware. You have to make a distinction between someone who says they're a teacher of Christ, right, and the way of righteousness. Are they really? Okay, that's the point. If one exalts himself, man, highlight that. That's one of your truth detectors. When a man is exalting himself, saying, listen to my teachings, I'll tell you the way this is. To our shame, I say that we are too weak for that. I like that phrase. Paul says, we're too weak for that. Whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. See, just because somebody says something confidently doesn't mean that they're right. I've been told by a Muslim evangelist that Muhammad's the prophet that Moses prophesied about. I said, no, he isn't. Or you could say, I didn't know Muhammad was Jewish. Because it says of the brethren. See, the twisting, blatant. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Okay. I think he's referring to the same Judaizers. Are they ministers of Christ? And then I like this part, because this last part is really the call. You have the continuing Christ, so you have the first one is kept in Christ, continue in Christ. You want to know what it is to be called? Called to suffer. That's where Paul lays it out. He says, I speak as a fool, I am more. And we talk about abundance, right? Want to live for Christ in this world, what do you know? The world's going to hate you. Okay, you just got to work through that. Okay? Because we're called to bear fruit. We're not called just to be in here and huddle together and say, oh, isn't God great? And then never do anything about it. He puts his life into us. He says, now go out and tell others. Paul says, look at the abundance. In labors, more abundant. Okay? Stripes above measure. Prisons more frequently, deaths often. Five times received 39, right? 40 minus 1, you wouldn't dare. The Jews wouldn't give the 40 stripes lest they broke the law. So they'd always count to 39 and stop. So five times he had that. Three times he was beat with rods, stoned. Three times shipwrecked, a day and night in the deep. Now, called of Christ, it begins here with contusions. You're going to get beat around, right? Beat up. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be physical necessarily. But throughout history, what do you know about those who follow Christ? They bear the marks in their body for the truth. Polycarp, right? You can read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Polycarp is put forth as one. When he was 87 years old, they drug him out to the public square and said, renounce Christ. He says, I've served him for 87 years. No. Right? Do whatever you want to do to me. Now, this is worth listening to Paul here. So, the contusions of suffering for Christ. Then he offers this up in 26, journeys often, perils of waters, perils, robbers, perils of country, of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, You think Paul understood perilous times in the last days? The Holy Spirit was very clear. Perilous times. Are we ready for trouble? And Paul says what? He offers this up. He says, you have to listen to the cautions. So as you are called of Christ, there's going to be the contusions. And then everywhere you go, you're going to have to walk carefully, circumspectly, the caution. Now, some of you have signed up for Mike McIntosh's prayer force, U.S. prayer force, and he shared a prayer request. He says, will you pray for me? I was going to be going into China to share the gospel, and that got canceled, and then another invitation showed up. He says, and I got to know if this is God or not. He's praying for cautionary type of decision making. What's Paul saying? Everywhere I went, there was peril, so how did he walk? With caution. And then 27, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, and nakedness. His own cares. His own cares put behind serving Christ. Now, why is this so important for the American, North American churchianity? Because we've been presented what? A different Jesus that would make you comfortable in this world till he comes to get you? I'm saying if we listen to this and we say we're going to follow Christ, we should be persecuted, right? Spitefully used, treated, and we should turn and bless and love. All the teachings of Jesus. So what you're continuing in is the teachings of Jesus, but also in this weariness, toil, it's good to be tired in a good thing. I'm weary because I've been laboring. I was up early praying, right? I stayed up late. I fasted. What's Paul saying? Right? I put my cares of my life, casting all my cares upon him, knowing that he cares for me. This is not the time to plan your retirement in this world. This is the time to give all to Christ. And then 28, beside other things, what comes upon me daily, and then again, you put a colon in there, listen closely. What's Paul's daily concern? Not, where his next meal's coming from. What's his daily concern? So what about the church? Are they doing okay? Is Satan gonna get in over here? He says deep concern for all the churches. So I'm kind of phrasing this together in this last one of Called of Christ. Contusions, right? So suffering, willing to suffer for Christ, even physically. Again, the cautions of as I walk in this world, danger can be anywhere. The cares, right? My personal cares, I've got to learn how to trust God in the personal cares of my life and then take up the concern about the body of Christ. What if you did that just with those here? And I take up the concern and I'm praying for them, and what are they going through? Let alone, I know this, when we start three churches this summer, you may not know this, but I already know it's coming. My concern gets tripled or quadrupled this summer, because as churches start and then new believers, and I start to carry the concern of what's going on there and teaching, and then are they going to be kept in Christ, and are they getting saved? And then, again, carrying that concern. See, contusions, cautions, cares, concerns, all under being called of Christ. Verse 29, who is weak? And I am not weak. What's Paul saying? This life of Christ, again, this isn't about getting stronger, living the best version of yourself, if you hear the garbage that goes on out there. This is about, in weakness, right? I serve and follow Christ. Whatever happens to me, and he describes it, he says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast of the things which concern my infirmity. He describes, who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? Could you imagine if the Apostle Paul would find out someone who just tried to take someone away from Jesus? What would he do to them? Can you understand that heart? He says, burning with indignation. I like it when he writes back to the church and he writes back honestly. It's like, I didn't know if you were going to make it or not, and you made it. I've been praying for you that you'd be kept in Christ. See, what do you do when you can't be there to influence somebody? When you can't teach them, what do? You pray. You know, Lord, keep them. And this is what he boasts in. He says, when I began in ministry, right? He says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. He didn't have his entrance into ministry out of his greatness. In fact, his entrance into ministry when he was in Damascus, when he was going there to harass the church, he gets saved. And the moment when he got saved was the time when Satan tried to destroy his life and keep anything from happening. He says, in the beginning, Damascus, the governor, they set a watch to arrest me, and I was let down in a basket through a window and escaped. Now, I just, my paraphraser, like a little baby. Put in a basket. Because you got Moses, right? Put in a basket. See, and you understand. So what is this for us? If you're not interested in bearing fruit to God, this sermon doesn't really, it's completely unnecessary. Right? This is chapter 11 of Corinthians. If you're not interested in bearing fruit for God, just take today, chalk it up, forget it, get 50 feet out the door or 50 minutes, forget all about it. Okay? But if you want to bear fruit to God, you've been following Christ, you're saved, and then you're on to this bearing fruit unto God. What is it? I want to be like Christ, and I want to bear fruit unto him. I want my life to matter for the kingdom of God. I want my life to bring others, and I want this life to bear fruit. And this is my thought on church. I want us to bear fruit unto God. I believe we're called and appointed to it. What's my vision? My vision is not so we can just have a Calvary Chapel in these cities. My vision is that by going there to all these cities as well as Fargo, that we could have revival and that all the churches would experience an influx of salvation and they're preaching Christ, and we could have many saved and many in the kingdom of God, because we as a church said what? We're going to count the cost of following Christ in 2025. Okay? That's my thoughts. And so if you want to bear fruit unto God, keep yourself in this place of understanding, I am kept by the grace of God in Christ, and I'm going to be very aware that Satan's going to try to seduce me and get me onto something else, but I'm going to test and keep and see, is that Christ? And I'm going to continue in Christ at all costs. And if we're called and appointed to bear fruit, I know that we will suffer for it. Do you hear that? If we're called to bear fruit in the kingdom of God, we will suffer for. So in the spiritual realm, again, related to this understanding, Paul, again, peels back in chapter 11 the cost into his physical body of what it meant for him to spiritually be an apostle. The warfare. Or, if you understand it, since we're in these bodies, the men who tried to beat him to get him to stop. Okay? It's great for us to be encouraged in the way you take like a Richard Wurmbrand in Romania and you read Tortured for Christ. And he says, give me men who do not fear man. They're not afraid anymore of dying. He says, and I will give you Romania. That type of passion in this day and age, why? Because time is short. That type of passion that says, let's be a church that will go forth wherever we're called to go and say whatever we need to say and stand right in that place between heaven and hell, praying, preaching Christ, teaching the Word of God, and steering people away from the false, bringing them to the true, that their lives can be in Christ and they can take that gospel out. And let's stand right there in that place. So when trials, right, labors, difficulties, you know, will we see contusions in our day? Maybe. I don't know that. Will we see contentions? Uh-huh. Will you have more cares all of a sudden? So we're not to worry about our life. What did Jesus teach us? Don't worry about your life. but take up the care and concern of Christ. Father in heaven, we too boast in our infirmities and our weaknesses. Lord, we're not great people. We don't have great events to boast in, nor are we going to boast in our accomplishments, but our boast is in you. Lord, there's no glorying in our lives except to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we come to communion today and we remember you. Lord, we glory in you. We remember that it's your death, your dying to sin, that then, Lord, you paid the price. And we remember you today. Lord, we're asking you to do great mighty works in our day through your church, that this fruit would remain and that you would begin in our day, Lord, you would bring revival. You'd bring revival to Fargo, Moorhead. You'd bring revival to West Fargo, Lord. You'd bring revival to North Dakota. Jesus, we trust in you and follow you. And at all costs, we will follow you. We remember today that you suffered and died. Lord, there's nothing more weak than one hanging on a tree. Lord, and in your weakness, Lord, you became that sacrifice for sin. Father, we glorify you now, worship you. We remember Jesus and say, Lord, will you give us your Holy Spirit to make us more and more like Jesus and send us forth to bring forth fruit unto you. We remember you now, Jesus, and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.